Hello and welcome to the J-Rod Sports Pod with me, James Robson.
And me, Ollie Dix.
So today, Ollie and I are going to be starting what is essentially our normal programming of podcasts through the sports season, the traditional sports season, sort of now that we've come out of quarantine, essentially. Is it too early to say that?
Kind of, now that sporting worlds are back to normal almost.
And so what we're going to be doing is we're going to be on the Tuesday and Friday episodes, we're just going to be giving you the five biggest points from the NFL, the NBA and the Premier League, and then maybe a section if there's any other news that we need to cover as well. But let's jump straight into the top five news stories from the NFL. Okay, so Ollie, let's start with I think the most anticipated quarterback matchup in the NFL for years. I think it's the first time that two starting quarterbacks have both been over 40 years old.
Yeah, but that's not the reason why this was anticipated in the way it was it?
No, it was anticipated because, you know, Tom Brady and his new look Tampa Bay Buccaneers were facing Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. But eventually came up short, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. I think ultimately most people will put the blame on Brady's shoulders. And probably most of it is deserving. Because when you throw two interceptions, you're often going to get punished for that. And the Saints did punish the Bucs for that.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching some American TV this morning, and one of the things that they said was Brady has thrown a pick six in his last three games. The NFL record is four. So next week, if he throws a pick six, he will tie the NFL record for most pick sixes in consecutive games.
I would love to know how many guys are on three.
Yeah, true.
Slash are on four, because that isn't... I don't think that's... That's not something to go...
One guy's on four.
Okay, well, but the three, I bet, that's not full panic mode, especially when that spreads over two seasons.
But did you see anything from Brady and the Bucks to make you sort of settle down and go, okay, you know, this is a contender? I mean, they were playing a Saints team that is formidable and hasn't really lost anyone big.
Yeah, I think the confidence will be there in the Bucks for... quite a while, if I'm honest. The thing that I think was quite blaringly obvious is that there were just certain times where it did look like a quarterback on a new team with a new offense, and a quarterback where, you know, who wasn't necessarily entirely synced up with gameplay situations. Like it's easy when you know someone's going to run a certain route in training and that's what they're doing, and you can throw that and you get on sync. But when it's, okay, like a five-step or seven-step slant, and actually if the defense plays up on you, then actually you have to go on a go route and go. Well, that's actually massively different than like anything you would have done in training, really, because that is all like split-second decisions that have to be made, and you have to trust that both of you are going to make those decisions at the right one at the same time, and that, I think, for me, let them down.
Also, I think Brady, in his post-match interview, was sort of discussing how it felt like a bit of a scrimmage. It felt just like training, but it counted. And he's someone that really feeds off the energy in those stadiums, and this will have been very difficult for someone like him.
Yeah, I think, and we like might touch on them later, but Belichick almost said it right. Like, someone asked him, like, what is this like? Like, have you ever been involved in anything like this before? Like, how does this compare to anything that you've seen in football before? And Belichick went, turned around and went, what, practice? Like, this is all there is. It's like, we are just playing almost glorified scrimmage games at the moment, which is tough. I think I was obviously very blind with a lot of optimism. And I think most people will be with the Bucs until it's like 3-8, you know? But I think the caliber of players there, you have to believe that
it won't get there.
There is something, some potential there. Whether it gets there or not, I don't know. I think everyone expected them to be like running at 100 miles an hour straight away and for there to be no hiccups. And a Saints team, I don't think, is a hiccup.
No. I mean, they couldn't have faced a harder... I mean, especially, you know, the fact that that's a divisional game, they could not have faced a harder game first time out.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Okay, then moving on. We have got a controversial way for the Dallas Cowboys to lose against the LA Rams. Someone posted, I think someone posted a tweet that was the highest paid actors in the world. And it was like Dwayne The Rock Johnson on $85 million and Jalen Ramsey on $105 million.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, essentially there was offensive pass interference. Was it Michael Gallup?
Yeah.
On Jalen Ramsey. And
Ramsey then looked like he'd rolled about 400 miles.
He made a bit of a meal of it.
It was a 3-course meal.
But, I mean, what I would say is by the letter of the law, it was pass interference. You're not allowed to extend your arm backwards away from you, and essentially did push off, but we've seen those not called more often than they are.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I think, yeah, look, I don't think this is a... what I don't want this to become is actually the focus goes on to the referees and that decision, when actually the Cowboys didn't look that great throughout the entire game. Like, going into the third quarter, like, they were down.
Yeah, they were 3-for-12 on third down. They were, I mean, not effective at moving the ball, not efficient. And this was one of those wins. I mean, it's one of those things that Sir Alex Ferguson used to say, the best teams win playing badly.
Yeah.
And it seems like the Rams just pulled out a win there, not playing particularly great.
Well, no, I'm not impressed with the Rams, and I always worry. Well, I have no confidence in Jared Goff and that contract that he signed. I think he's fully catfished them, because he's on an extortionate amount of money for not a lot of production anymore. If you think back to that Super Bowl game, actually, they've not done anything really since. But yeah, like I expected more from Mike McCarthy and this Cowboys team. I thought they would be... that looked like the Cowboys of old. And it didn't look like McCarthy had actually really changed much.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you've got to put an asterisk by it and go, it's difficult in a shortened training camp with no preseason games, no extensive off-season program, to be able to put your stamp on it, but... it is what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, then moving on to, I think, one of the big upsets of the weekend. The Arizona Cardinals beat the San Francisco 49ers. Kyler Murray looked impressive. DeAndre Hopkins looked like DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah. He looked like he showed the Cardinals that they got their money's worth.
Yeah. But what I would say is, you know, the Super Bowl hangover... you know, it's a real thing for the winning team. You know, the Eagles proved that.
Yeah.
But it's also a very real thing for the losing team.
Oh, for sure. It's almost... I think it's almost harder to get... but I know this... I don't know if this is going to sound silly or not, but I think it's harder to get back when you've lost than when you've won.
Yeah.
Because...
no, I completely agree.
Like, being almost like... getting to the final door and then it just being shut in your face, I think just kills your, like, your mojo. And I think that the 49ers just, yeah, I think they're really going to struggle, especially with no fans. They're really going to struggle for some, like, motivation or some inspiration to get this season going, especially when they come against such a difficult division.
Yeah, they sort of needed... I mean, it wasn't by any stretch of the imagination a blowout victory. I mean, it was 24-20. What I would say is I thought one or two plays go the other way, San Francisco get this. My big concern is Kittle.
Yeah,
got carted or got taken off because it, you know, a very awkward collision on his knee, and if that doesn't turn out to heal up nicely, that is a massive weapon for Jimmy Garoppolo that he won't have moving forward.
Yeah, and like I was, you know, like quite surprised that they didn't really get much pressure on Kyler Murray. I know he's an evasive quarterback, but I think we praise that 49ers defensive line to be one of the better in the game, and to get no sacks on from like Bosa or D Ford or like Mosley, you know, I think is poor on that side. The one person who I would say stood out for the 49ers, and we spoke about, or whether he deserved a new extension he got, was Raheem Mostert. He, okay, rushed 15 carries for 56 yards, not great, but then receiving yards, 95 yards on 4 receptions and a touchdown, which is then the production you ask for, like from a running back that can catch.
Yeah, and I was concerned when they lost Matt Breida to the Dolphins that the backbone of their team had gone. It did look like their ground game was a little bit ineffective, but most of it was making up for it through the air.
Yeah, what does worry me though again is that actually if there's no Kittle, they don't seem to have a number one wide receiver there, for someone for Garoppolo to always go for, and actually that was what the Cardinals had, and that was what the Cardinals took advantage of. Actually having DeAndre Hopkins line up on like the outside, 14 receptions for 151 yards is a hell of a game.
Yeah. Okay, then moving on, probably another one of the big upsets, Minshew Mania returns.
Yeah, did it ever stop?
One interception, 3 touchdowns. Pretty good stats.
Yeah.
And
I think he had
surprise win.
He only had one incompletion as well.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, 19 of 20, 173 yards, pretty 3 good. Touchdowns.
Pretty good.
I want to be like, oh yeah, great, like go Jacksonville. There definitely seem to be a better like mindset. Like it seems like potentially the players that all these great players that we were great strong, all these good players that they were getting rid of, we were like disappointed in them, like are they tanking for Trevor Lawrence or whatever it might be. Actually it seems like they've just purified their locker room a little bit, and that they're all guys that want to be there working towards one common goal, and that would be like, and that seems to work the best. I do worry about Philip Rivers.
Yeah, it didn't look great.
No.
But, I mean, is this the same thing that we saw with Tom Brady? Is this just him struggling to get to grips with the new situation that he's in?
Yeah,
Or is this just what Philip Rivers is now?
I think we should give him the benefit of the doubt, but actually, down in Indianapolis, they, like, expect you to be a little mobile, and there is no mobility there, and I think that really limits them. We credited their offensive line, but actually when it comes to being a mobile offensive line, I'm not sure that that's what they're great at, and I think we will see some growing pains for that Colts team.
Okay, and then this last point that we're going to talk about on the NFL quickly. We're just going to run through some of the featured games, and I just want like a sentence out of you about what you thought about it. Patriots Dolphins, let's start with them. Patriots won 21-11. Big for Cam.
Yeah, impressive. I think very rarely do we see the Patriots not win games they're supposed to win, unless it's against the Dolphins, and actually there just seemed to be a new option in the offense with Cam there.
Same old Ravens and the same old Cleveland Browns, 38-6 to Baltimore.
You know the Spider-Man meme where they're looking at each other? I saw one where it was like the 2020 Browns, the 2019 Browns, the 2018 Browns, the 2017 Browns, like where this is their year, they're going to turn it around. Like, we praised them on this and thought it was going to be different, with especially with the front office the way it is. Yeah, same old Browns.
Same old Brownies.
I think time's running out for Baker.
Yeah. He was not particularly good yesterday.
Not at all.
The Raiders getting it done against the Carolina Panthers. Yeah, you did. 34-30. Tight. And it looked like, well, the Raiders were significantly up at the end. And the Panthers had a bit of a sort of fourth quarter spurt.
Yeah. If you look at it on like just pure stats, I think you expect the Panthers to win, and I think but just field position was a massive part of this, and I think the Raiders actually took advantage and had a great rushing game from Joshua Jacobs. And actually, I think that we always know, like, if you can get a good running game, then you're going to be all right. Whereas, yeah, the Panthers, obviously, you always have Christian McCaffrey, but that seemed to be the only dynamic of their offense.
Yep. Tale of two halves at Washington. The Washington football team beat Philadelphia Eagles 27-17. Philly looked good first half, 17 points, 17-7 in control. And then Washington scored 20 unanswered points.
Yeah, I worry for this Eagles team.
And that Washington team looks like it's really galvanised behind Ron Rivera.
Yeah, I think obviously the cancer situation is awful, and you wish the best health for Ron Rivera, but I think he's got a team behind him at the moment, and they're very much ready to buy into, you know, what he believes and what he's doing. We just spoke about a good rushing game being good for you. The Eagles had no ground game, and over an entire game, you're gonna get found out over that.
Yeah. Seahawks looked impressive, 38-25 victory over the Falcons. I think the Falcons have spent the best of Matt Ryan on losing.
Yeah. I think, I don't know how long a hangover should last, but it shouldn't last this long. And I think they're still in that hangover. And I just don't, I think you almost need to start again there and just hope for the best that actually, there doesn't seem to be any kind of leadership change into let's go and let's have something different. They're trying to do the same old and actually not experiencing any success, and I feel like they're kind of wasting Julio Jones's best years as well, which is sad given how good he is.
Yeah, 100%. Aaron Rodgers was Aaron Rodgers, and Kirk Cousins was Kirk Cousins.
The best Aaron I think we've seen in a while.
Yeah.
I think everyone spoke about decline over the past 2 years, and maybe we forget that they went to the NFC Championship game last year, but he looked so good, and that arm looks so fresh. Jordan Love's going to have to wait a while for this.
Mitchell Trubisky getting it done.
Yeah, tale of two halves as well, I think.
Yeah, 21 points in the fourth quarter for the Bears. You can't have a capitulation like that if you're Detroit.
No, and when you lose the game on the goal line like they did, yeah, it's just...
But that was Detroit's game. They dropped a pass in the end zone to win the match.
Yeah.
And it was a wide open ball.
No, I 100% agree with you. Same old Detroit, really. It's hard to find something good in there for them, or something positive.
Fast starting Buffalo Bills beat the Jets 27-17. 21 of those points came in the first half, and the Jets could never really find a rhythm. I'm quietly liking this Bills team.
Yeah, I like it.
But quietly.
Yeah, quietly. Always quietly. But it looks very balanced going forwards. especially on that throwing game, and with a mobile Josh Allen, like, can really get behind that. And yeah, it's an exciting time for the Bills, and obviously we hope that the Patriots dynasty doesn't end, but if it does, it looks most likely to be down to the Bills.
Yeah. Close one, you know, in Cincinnati. The Chargers beat the Bengals 16-13, but Joe Burrow looked like an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, didn't struggle, which is always positive. You know, AJ Green's pass, touchdown pass in the final minutes, was brought back because of offensive pass interference as well. And then they missed the field goal with, I think it was 7 seconds to go. So, you know, unfortunate. And I think there's already a Joey Burrow meme as to how he looked when it hit the upright. Tough but promising times for the Bengals if Burrow improves from this point on.
Okay, then turning our attention to the NBA then, because the Lakers have beaten the Rockets in Game 5 to advance to the Western Conference Finals. Not really a surprise.
No, but I think it's amazing to see. The biggest thing for me is that we watched LeBron in his physical prime take down Harden and Westbrook in 2012 with the Heat against the Oklahoma City Thunder. And we're now watching LeBron seemingly in his prime again, or still, take down Westbrook and Harden for the Rockets, and almost them, like, out of their peak now. Yeah, it's promising for the Lakers that they're hitting their peak at this time, but I do worry for the Rockets going forward.
Yeah, and the Rockets head coach, what's his name?
Mike D'Antoni.
Mike D'Antoni, yeah, that's it. He said he will be hitting the free agent market.
Yeah.
So, you know, potentially change at Houston. It depends how good an offer they make it.
Yeah, well, that's a surprise as well, because, you know, they really brought into this idea of small ball. And, you know, Daryl, I think it's Morey, who's the Rockets GM, was like, oh, well, you know, look, like, the Lakers beat us with small ball, so it must work, which is a bit like, is small ball when you have AD and LeBron on the floor? Not really. But so it'll be interesting to see what direction the Rockets go, especially when they gave so much up to get Westbrook from the Thunder and sent Chris Paul the other way.
Okay, and then the Clippers have lost game 6 against the Denver Nuggets, so that semifinals will go to a seventh game, and a game that the Clippers looked in control, but then coming out of the half, you know, in the third quarter, 10 consecutive misses was too much. You know, it just swung the momentum enough for Denver to get their teeth stuck into it.
Yeah, we've spoken a lot about there being a lack of momentum in these bubbles, or in this bubble. Denver looks like it fully has the psychological momentum in this matchup, especially going into the fourth quarter against the Clippers. Like, that's the second game in a row that the Clippers have blown a double-digit lead going into the fourth, and the Nuggets just don't know how to quit. And I think that, yeah, like, nobody, the Lakers won't want to face the Nuggets, if they get through, and if I'm being honest, I don't think the Clippers want another game against the Nuggets. Like, it's not easy for them at the moment, and yeah, worrying times if you're a Clippers fan, I think.
Also, the thing for me about the Nuggets is they're playing with that sort of no pressure.
Yeah,
they have nothing to lose. They're especially at the start of the series, they were so not fancied.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That they can just be kind of like free and play how they want to play, and that's why, yeah, I think that this might be the upset. but they have gone the distance. They went the distance against the Jazz. They went into Game 7.
Yeah.
So, you know, these things accumulate.
No, for sure. And it's their fourth straight playoff series that's gone to Game 7. So last year they went to Game 7 twice with, well, once with the Spurs and with the Trailblazers. So, like, they know what Game 7 feels like, for sure. And I think that that's only going to help them, especially when the Clippers team will feel a lot of like nerves going into it as to a need to get this result.
Okay, and then the Boston Celtics will be facing the Miami Heat in the Western Conference Finals. I'm pretty sure you called this.
Yes. We will have to go back. It's a long time ago. But I think I might have gone rogue with the Heat.
I think you did.
So, you know, credit to us. That ups our
credibility
rating, for sure, yeah. Up a little bit. But, yeah, massive. It's hard to stop mentioning how impressive a series the Heat was against the Bucks for the Heat, and the Celtics actually, you know, looked comfy at the start and then you know, struggled a little bit throughout the middle of the series, but actually in the end did look like the better team against the Rockets.
Do you worry that the Celtics had their final?
No.
Do you think this is maintainable?
I think the Heat had their final.
Interesting.
I think the Heat matched up so well against the Bucks that actually I think the Celtics have too much for the Heat. Like, matching up wise, the Bucks actually are a good regular season team, because in the regular season you don't have such a game plan that stops Giannis. And actually the Heat had a game plan that stopped him, and then that affected the entire offense. Whereas actually with the Celtics, there are three or four of them that can actually go get theirs. And whereas, so then if you lock down Kemba, well, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown can still get theirs. Whereas actually with the Heat, okay, like, they've got a lot of good three-point shooters, but if you stop Jimmy Butler, that's their offense almost done a little bit. And so, yeah, I think the Heat have had their final.
So you're calling Celtics in...
Six. I do think it will be tough. I think the Heat have that, like, dog mentality where they're not going to go down easily. So I think the Celtics will have to work for it. But I think the calibre of players will prevail.
Okay, I'm going to say Heat in seven.
I mean, I'm all for that.
I think that is
a series I will be happily, like, sat down watching.
I just think there's always that expectation for the Celtics.
Yeah.
And there is something to not having that.
Going in fresh and kind of feeling like you can push on now, and actually there's a lot of confidence, I bet, in that Heat locker room, all going behind Jimmy Butler and, like, hit them leading him there.
Okay, then moving on to the Premier League. Liverpool managed to get the win in a tight one against Leeds. Do you think this is going to be a Leeds team that has a Sheffield United season and makes it in the Premier League? I'm not just talking about staying up. I'm talking about being competitive, because it's easy to be competitive in game one.
I think all their games will be competitive, but my fear for Leeds is very similar to, like, what they were saying on the commentary, is actually Leeds managed to get it back to 3-3 and then we're going after the winner. Like, they didn't sit back, park the bus, right, great, 10 minutes left, let's get a point, what a great start to the season, like, this is something we can build on. This was actually, we're going to keep flying forward, leave the defenders, like, alone a little bit, and, like, go for those 3 points. And in the end, I think that cost them from getting anything. And so I think it's actually, that's my fear, is that if, you know, Bielsa is such an attacking coach, like that almost might be their downfall this time. That they'll struggle then against teams because they're not happy to accept like a. Don't think they'll have any 0-0 draws.
Yeah, I mean that kind of game had Bielsa written all over it, and I think it's a style of play that's so unfamiliar to the Premier League that it might just work.
Yeah, look, I think it's great for the Premier League if it does. So many times we've seen teams come up and it's like cagey from game one.
Yeah,
but. You know, like, great. And actually, I think almost, like, a perfect game for Liverpool to have, game one. And actually, yeah. Like, look, like, this is going to be tough. Like, you're champions now. Everyone's going to come here and want to go and put up a fight and want to try and beat you. You've got, like, a target on your back now. And actually, for them to get over the line and win a game like this, like you said earlier about Fergie, like, these games are the ones that you, like, need to win when they're close and you're not potentially playing your best. And I think that was the case for Liverpool.
All right, then. Looking, I mean, this is so heinously early.
Yeah.
Looking at the table, then.
Might be too early.
Yeah, it definitely is. teams to go down. Bottom three.
I think West Brom will go down.
At the moment, it's West Ham, Fulham and West Brom.
Yeah. Gosh. I mean, you look at it and there's some very good teams in there, aren't there?
Yeah.
I think most teams have improved. I think Villa will go down. I think Brighton will go down. And I think West Brom will go down.
Interesting. Yeah, I'd agree with West Brom.
Like, I back Fulham. I like Scott Parker.
Yeah.
I think there'll be enough results in there. And I think, actually, your first game of the season against a, you would argue, an in-form Arsenal team who have made some good signings. I think it's a tough day to start, but I think they will improve.
I'm going to say West Brom, West Ham, Southampton.
Oh, all faith has gone in the Hammers.
Yeah.
Why?
I think it was such a monumental effort last year.
Yeah.
That, you know, talk about a hangover.
Right, okay.
I bet that hangover is still actually in their heads.
Especially only given it was only like 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. any teams that you think are going to be in that group that we talked about at the end of last season where it doesn't really matter?
I think Burnley and Sheffield United will take a step back.
Interesting.
And I think they'll join that middle group of like your Newcastles, like your Southamptons. Yeah, I think Wolves will flourish not having any Europe this year.
I think Wolves might take a step back.
You think? But it's basically the Portugal squad anyway, so.
I just think that there will be a deflation from not playing in Europe. Yeah. And there will be that they're probably not going to win the Premier League either, so.
Yeah, I think the one thing that there's confidence in there is that they re-signed, is it like Nunes, for 3 years. Actually, the owners went and spent $35 million on, I can't remember his name, a young Portuguese striker. So actually, there seems to still be the ambition there at the club that they can go and do more and go and achieve success. So I think hopefully that will... For them anyway, that will trickle down.
Fair enough.
Who's your top four? Because, like, I was surprised Tottenham lost to Everton.
Yeah.
I didn't think Everton's signings would make such a big difference so soon.
So was I. I won't lie, I'm happy seeing Tottenham 17 places behind Arsenal. I do think Arsenal made the top four.
Really?
Yeah.
Fourth or?
Third.
Oh, wow.
I think it'll be Liverpool.
Oh wow!
City, Arsenal. And then I'm gonna say Leicester in fourth.
You don't think Chelsea or United get in the top four?
I think Chelsea will be fifth.
With all the money that they've spent,
I just don't think it'll work immediately.
Wow.
I think it'll work back end of the season and they'll have a charge. I don't think it'll work early.
So obviously it's Thursday afternoon now.
Yeah.
They play Brighton this evening.
It's not Thursday afternoon.
It's not. It's Monday afternoon.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be a long week, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's Monday afternoon now. They play Brighton this evening. I think they score 5 or more goals against Brighton.
Interesting.
I think they're going to be like the Liverpool of 2 years ago, where they just score an insane amount of goals.
And then I think Everton will be 6th.
Do you think? I think that would be well.
I think United will slip.
Really?
Yeah.
Because, like, no big signings. Obviously, they signed, is it De Bock from Ajax?
Yeah, I think that's a team that is so young that as soon as something trends downwards, it would spiral.
Do you think Solskjaer then stays? Gosh, this is all speculation.
Yeah, I think he does. Really? I think there's enough faith in him. And there's been patience shown already, so you might as well go down with the ship at that point.
Interesting.
What do you think?
I would love Liverpool to win the league, but I think City will be formidable this year. I think it will go City, Liverpool, Chelsea. I do like Arteta.
Go on.
Yeah. Arsenal. Spurs. United, Everton. I think we have to remember how bad Everton were last year.
We have to remember how bad Spurs were yesterday.
Yeah, but I will always back Mourinho. It's like Brady, Mourinho, Liverpool. I'll go down with those ships quite happily, and I'll back them until I'm proven wrong.
Well, they're in 17th at the moment, so it seems like you started to prove wrong.
I've only watched episode 1 of the All or Nothing as well, and I'm hooked.
Yeah, there you go. Right, so thank you very much for listening to that episode of the J-Rod Sports Pod, looking back at a packed weekend of live sport. Probably our first weekend of, let's say, opening weekend.
Yes.
Opening weekend of Huge. The sports world.
We love that.
Join us tonight for our J-Rod Tour Pod, and tomorrow for our F1 Pod with special guest host Sam Corsi. But until then, please make sure that you be a friend and tell a friend about the J-Rod Sports Pod.